the sermon series, if you want to listen to any of the past ones, is called Share His Love. And today's message, if you want to share it with anybody, or if you want to hear it again, if I talk too fast, which sometimes I do, this is called Rooted to Grow, and we're going to find our way to Colossians 2. So if you have a copy of God's Word and you want to turn there, feel free to do that. So Colossians 2, 6 through 10 is the text for there. I want for you to be growing, just like I want to be growing. I want to grow in my depth and in my maturity. I want for you to grow in your depth and in your maturity. I want for us to grow in our fellowship with one another. I want us to grow in our ability to reach folks here in Allegan and hopefully, Lord willing, the rest of the world through missionaries for our support. Maybe some of you called to be missionaries. So I want to talk about what it means to grow. When we live in a culture obsessed with speed, fast results, quick fixes, instant growth, sometimes it's important to understand that that doesn't have to be the mindset of the church. Sometimes we think that we have to have instant results, quick growth. But that's not what Scripture teaches. In fact, Scripture shows us in one of Jesus' parables that lots of times when things grow too fast, they end up withering and dying. The roots actually don't have time to mature. And so as Paul's going to write to the church today, what he wants is active growing that takes time. His concern is not necessarily their enthusiasm, but their foundation. We just sung a song about that, right? All other ground is sinking sand. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you feel like you are rooted in Christ? Do you feel like you have a firm foundation? Or do you feel like maybe there's more growth that you could have? I hope for all of us, regardless of how long we've been saved or our age and years, I hope all of us would say, hey, even if I do feel rooted, I know that there's still room for me to grow. So let's read this scripture together, and then I'll get into what I think maybe God has for us this morning, okay? Here's what God's Word says. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Let's pray. God, our Father, I thank You for today. I would ask, God, that You would be with us. God, I pray that You would help us to apply this letter that was written to the Colossians, that You would help us to apply it to us here at Allegan Bible Church. God, I pray that You would help me to be clear and concise with Your Word so that we might apply it by Your Holy Spirit. Give us Your Spirit that would give us wisdom and discernment. And for each and every one of us, God, give us that dose of the Holy Spirit that would apply it to each of us individually as well as to us corporately. I thank You for Paul and what he's asking for these people. Also, he's asking for us. And so it's in Your name that we pray and thank You. Amen. So if you're a note taker, I think the first one here is the first section of blanks that you can fill in, which is this. The Christian life begins and continues the same way. So I know that some of us have been coming to church for a very long time, and that's great. I praise God for that. But don't ever feel like you have graduated beyond the cross of Christ. Now, there's other things of the Bible that we can learn, that we should learn. There's other things of the Bible to apply. But, beloved, we have to continuously go back to the foot of the cross. Paul says, I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And if Paul says that, no offense to you, but I don't put myself on the same playing field as Paul. Now, we have the same Holy Spirit, and so, you know, we can attain that level of wisdom and Bible education, all that kind of stuff. But if Paul says, I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified, we ought to also remember that that is where we should be. I get that, of course, from the text here. This is what it says. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So I want you to see here that the Christian life begins, firstly, with receiving, not achieving. Maybe that's news to you, maybe not, but here's the point of what I'm saying. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, that is where you have to start. We don't start by getting clean enough to come to church. We come to church to meet the one who can make us clean. And we don't even have to go to church to meet him. Praise God for that, right? Like, Jesus wasn't often found in the synagogue. He spent time in the synagogue. Where was he often found, though? Out with the people. He went to them. Friends, your Christian life should be about going and telling, not coming and seeing. You should come and see because you've already been told, right? But the Christian life begins with receiving, not achieving. And so I want to remind you again, as I hope that you are maturing in your faith, maturing in not only just reading Scripture, but applying it to your life, letting the Holy Spirit change your heart, making you a new creation. We just talked about this in the adult Sunday school room. All of that is great, and we should be attaining to that. But the main thing is Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected, as we talked about in the adult Sunday school room. That we need to receive Christ, not achieve something. But the other thing that I want you to see based on this is that growth happens by continuing in the same grace that saves us. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful about that. Because here's what Scripture tells us. You can do nothing to be saved, right? We can't earn it to begin with. But the same thing is true in what this text is telling us is that the same grace that saves you, right? Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You received Him simply by faith, simply by coming to Him and saying, God, I have nothing to offer. What I need is You. I need for You to save me. I need for You to change me. I need for You to be the sacrifice on my behalf. And what Paul is saying is the way that we stay in Christ is the same way. If you have not fallen away from Jesus, it is not because there is something great about you. It's not because your grip on Him is so strong. It's because His grip on you remains strong. Amen? So what we need to see here is that growth happens by continuing in the same grace that saved us. You were saved by grace. You mature by that same grace. That's why we must continue to come to the cross. That's why we must continue to follow Jesus. This phrase, walk in Him, implies a daily ongoing way of life. And so we never graduate beyond Jesus. It's always Jesus. You know, when I first got here, and so just so everybody knows, if you've been coming here for a while, I was straight out of seminary, wet behind the ears. You can ask the folks that's been here with me the whole time. And by God's grace, if you ask them, I believe that they would say, oh, we've seen Pastor mature. And I hope that that's a great blessing to you. Because I think sometimes people have this idea that once you get out of seminary, then you're done. The bread is baked, right? Like, we've had the proving time. It's been through the baking. Like, here it is. Like, I have no more growth to do. I've been to seminary. Look at me, right? Like, that's not how it is. And since I've been here over these last 10 years, I believe that the folks who know me, who have been here through the whole time, they would say, well, we've seen him mature. And you ought to thank them for putting up with me as they've seen me mature. Because the first several years that I was here, like that was a rough time for me. There were some times where I felt very discouraged. There were times that I wondered, hey, did I make a mistake? Should I not be a pastor at all? But here's the thing. As I received Christ, I needed to walk in Him. By God's grace, He preserved me through tough things. By God's grace, He allowed folks to love me and allow me to stumble or to falter or to fail. And by God's grace, they continued to encourage me as they will continue to encourage you. So if you're newer here, whatever that means, then God's not done with you either. As we receive Christ, so we walk in Him, and so then we mature. We don't graduate from the gospel, we grow deeper into it. We understand it more fully. Because when we first are saved, we understand what the gospel means for us and for our soul, right? But as we continue to walk in Christ, we now find out what the gospel means for maybe our relationship with our brothers and sisters or our mothers or fathers. Or if you're older, or if you're in this boat, we now know what the gospel means for our marriage, Or if you're in this boat, you find out what the gospel means for your parenting. Or if you're in this boat, you find out what the gospel means for your grandparenting or for your great-grandparenting. And so it continues to affect us as we continue to steep ourselves in it. Galatians 3, 2 through 3 says, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are now being perfected by the flesh?" And so continue to walk in Him just as you have received Him, by grace, coming to the throne of grace, receiving with open hands that which you need to continue your growing. Romans 1:17 says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Not just be saved by faith, but live by faith. Here's an illustration. Aren't you glad that airplanes don't switch engines mid-flight? I am. I'm not a huge fan of flying as it is. But if I knew that somehow they were supposed to switch engines mid-flight, I would never get on an airplane again. Not a second in my life. So in part of the Air Force, since I've been doing that, I think it's a fairly newish invention. You can Google it and find out how wrong I am, since I'm just thinking of this right now. But did you know that they do mid-air refueling? So the Air Force has this ability where they have this big plane that's up in the sky. I don't know if you knew this. Some airplanes for the Air Force and stuff like that, they don't come down for weeks. They're just up there in the sky. Because you have another airplane that's full of fuel, and they'll have like this little hose that'll come out, and somehow this pilot, they talk to one another, they sync up, and they plug in basically, and they receive all this fuel so that they can just continue flying, right? That's why we're such good spies. Our planes just never come down, right? But the same can be said for us. The grace that lifts you off is the same grace that carries you. Praise God for that. That His grace is sufficient. That He never leaves us. He never changes. He is always with us. He is with you as much today, wherever you're at in your walk, as He was the day that He called you, the day that He saved you. He has never minimized His position with you. He has never minimized His love for you. The love that He had to save you is the same love that He has to continue to preserve you. And when we fail and when we falter in between there, it doesn't diminish His love for us. It might sadden Him because, you know, we've sinned and whatever. But He is right there again to pick us up, to put us back on our feet. He is a loving Father. I don't know what all of your relationships were with your fathers. Maybe they weren't always good. And so we have to remember that He is not like our earthly Father. He is always there. He never lets us down. He never goes to sleep. He never switches engines mid-flight. It's that same grace keeps us grounded and empowered as we continue forward. Second thing I want you to see, because this is kind of the beginning, right? The second thing I want you to see is this. Roots come before results. So friends, if you're here today and you have somebody in your life, and often, I know this is cliche, but you know, often it's a spouse. If you're a spouse, you probably want your other spouse to be better than what they are. I got news for you. Guess what your spouse is thinking? So if you're here and hearing this and you're thinking that, guess what they're thinking too? You ain't alone, okay? But what we need to see is that roots come before a relationship. And what I mean by any kind of tree or any kind of thing that you might plant, right? Now, I planted just this last year, or maybe the year before, I think it was this last year, I think it was 5 pine trees. Well, 2 of them are dead, and that's a bummer. That's my fault, though. I didn't give their root system what they needed to be established. I didn't continue to water them because I'm lazy. I was like, hey, survival of the fittest at the Gruss house. I'm planting the tree, and either you're finding water or you ain't. I don't know. Hope you got good roots. But the point is, the roots need to come before the results, right? Here's what we see in Scripture this morning in Colossians. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul shifts his metaphors here. He starts with this idea of rootedness. This is an agricultural term. We all understand that, right? This is an agricultural term, but also when you think about the roots of a tree, we don't see that, right? We don't see the roots. They're hidden. the root system, just like the rest of the tree, is a slow growth. For lots of, not for everything, but go with me on the metaphor here. Don't think to yourself, oh, well, Pastor, this whatever thing grows super fast. Like, okay, we're not talking about bamboo, okay? And also, you also may know that often it is the strength of the roots that allow for the tree to not only be healthy, but stand. So out at my folks' house, there is a pine tree. It is my favorite tree on their property. It is right next to the lake. They live on a lake, and they've got this seawall that's there, and there's this huge pine tree. And if the root systems ever fail, their house is going to be crushed. Because the wind comes across the lake, and sometimes it comes across the lake pretty hard, you know. They don't live on Lake Michigan, so it's not that kind of hard wind, but it's an inland lake, so it comes across. And this pine tree is right there. And I praise God all the time that I see that pine tree, that it has a good, strong root system. The second thing he goes to there is he has these metaphors. He says, it's rooted, but then it's built up, right? So one is this agricultural term. The other one is an architectural term. And so think of things in your own life. This is something that's intentional construction. I think of this, in my mind, I think of brickwork, right? Bricklaying. Bricklaying is a hard job. However, if it's done right, it can last for years, and it can stand up to all kinds of punishment from the elements, right? But it takes intentionality. It takes work. And the progress sometimes is slow. So as we think about these roots coming before results, we have to understand that what is hidden often determines what is visible. It is your own personal and private prayer life that's going to have the fruit and the root system that's going to develop the tree in public. I'm just here to testify to you that the more time that I spend in prayer and reading Scripture, the less I am annoying to my wife and my kids, the better husband and father that I am. Because it's the time that I spend that's hidden that manifests itself in the world that is seen. And the less time that I spend doing those things, the less time that I spend with the Lord and allow Him to affect me, the more likely I am to be snappy or rude or judgmental or angry or whatever. The root system provides the stability in the storms. So think about that tree that I was talking about. We can't see the root system, but I can tell you if the tree is healthy based on that. There's some assumptions that we make. If you go and look at my pine trees and you look at those five and you see the two brown ones, you know what you'll say? Hey, those trees are dead. You know how you know? Because they're brown. And they're brown because the roots never got established. They never were able to get the nutrients that they need. The roots give us access to this nourishment. It gives us the capacity for our growth. Psalm 1:1-3 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers." Jeremiah uses a very similar illustration. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water. It sends out its roots by the stream, and it does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Why? Because its root system is secure. It is growing deeper in the things of the Lord. I mean, obviously, like, he's talking about a tree, I'm talking about you. But as we continue to put our roots into the water of life, as our foundation is secure in Christ, we can weather storms. We can weather droughts. You see, but here's the thing. Nobody ever really applauds the roots, do they? We can be thankful for them when we notice them. But what we notice is the tree. And so again, roots come before results. So if you want results, you have to focus on the roots. You have to focus on a relationship and growing in Christ Jesus. Before you're not going to be anxious, before you're not going to be angry, before you're not going to be, you know, whatever. You have to grow your roots. And when you do, the next part of that is that depth produces discernment. That is one of the fruits of these good roots, right? Colossians 2:8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Paul is concerned about deception, not persecution. He's concerned about our minds. He's concerned about our hearts. He's concerned about the hidden things of us. We can go through persecution if our roots are deep. But if our roots are not deep, we will get deceived by this world. We will become infatuated with the fads of this world. We will begin to think that the things that the world teaches or preaches is true. Shallow faith is easily shaken. You know, people ask me good questions. Sometimes they ask me questions because they don't believe and they want to poke holes in my belief. And sometimes they ask me questions because they are truly curious about the answer to those things, right? How would you do in that situation? What if somebody brought something up to you that you didn't know, and then they showed you something in the scripture or something in science? Would it shake your faith? Or would you have an answer? You know, this isn't to scare you, but it's in the Bible. It talks about how in the end times, when the Antichrist comes, and he's going to be so slick, so deceptive, so, gregarious or charismatic or whatever, that he will deceive, and Scripture says he would deceive even the elect if it were possible. And so it will only be those who have deep roots who will be able to discern the difference between the Antichrist and the true Christ. We need to be grounded in Scripture, and that gives us the ability to discern truth from error. He says that nobody takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human traditions or according to the elemental spirits of this world and not according to Christ. You see, here's the thing. When we don't know the whole counsel of God's Word, and you're never going to be perfect at that, right? Like, as I read through Scripture, I'm reminded of things that I had forgotten before. Or I see something new that I hadn't seen before. Like, what was this always there? Yeah, it was, but I didn't understand that, right? So just recently, over the last couple months, I began reading through. Well, here's what happened. So I started reading through the whole Bible for the year, and then my phone did this weird thing, and it got totally messed up, and I couldn't remember where I was at. So I was like, all right, in January, I'm going to start over again. So I started over in Genesis. Well, as I was doing that the first time, I was reading through the flood narrative and all this kind of stuff, and I decided I'm going to do a genealogy and a time frame of all these dudes. You know, so-and-so lived this many years, and they had this many sons, and then he died. And then so-and-so lived this many years, and he had this many sons, and then he died, right? And some of those are like, hey, he lived, 300-some years, and he had this many sons, and then he died. And then, so there's big time frames there. And I came to the conclusion, unless I'm totally wrong, so Methuselah, the dude who was the longest living guy, according to all of Scripture, right? You know what killed him? The flood. Isn't that crazy? And I missed that because I wasn't reading with intent. Like, I'm sure that I read through that, but it wasn't until I was like, oh, I'm gonna put this whole time frame together. I was like, dude, Methuselah died because of the flood. That's what killed him. Crazy, right? Anyway. It's when we are continuously in there, when we're growing our roots deeper, that are given discernment with that. Here's where I was going with that. Totally didn't matter, but I just want to make you excited about learning new things when you read the Bible. Like, just because you went to seminary doesn't mean you know it all. Okay, but here's where I'm going with that. The world and Satan will use the Bible, misuse the Bible, to confuse people. For example, God is love, right? It says that. It says that right in there. It also says, do not judge your neighbor, right? Pay attention to your own spec. Pay attention to your own log. Don't worry about my spec, right? Don't judge one another. Has the world not used those scriptures to preach a message that is not found in God's Word? Absolutely. So we need to be discerning. Ephesians 4:14 says this, so that you may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness in deceitful schemes. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So roots don't just help you grow. They protect you when the pressure comes. When the pressure of the world or philosophies, when easier things happen, and you could just, hey, if I just kind of fudged it a little bit here, it would be way easier. It is the roots that protect us from that. Second to last, the fullness of Christ guarantees growth. Because some of you might be thinking today, okay, well, this sounds like an awful lot of work, Pastor. No, that's the beauty of this. Did you work for your salvation in the first place? You got to remember where I'm going with this whole thing, right? The grace that saved you is the grace that sustains you. The grace that saved you is the grace that grows you. And so the fullness of Christ guarantees this growth. You want me to tell you a secret? Here's the secret. First of all, y'all don't need me for any of this, okay? I know, and some of you will tell me later, like, we do need you, Pastor. Great, I understand that, but you need to understand what I'm saying, okay? You don't need, I don't grow you. What happens is I stand up here and I read God's word to you. I expose you to God's word, and God's word and his Holy Spirit grow you. It's not me. You can read the Bible yourself. If you struggle with reading, you can listen to the audio version of the Bible yourself. You can grow yourself, and you should be growing yourself. You like men of the church, you should be growing to a place where you can do this. You should want to do this to some degree. It doesn't have to be this. I know some of you are like, I would rather literally die than stand up in front of everybody and talk. That's fine. That's fine. But can you not, in some context, read the Word of God enough to expose it to somebody else and let God's Word be the one that's making them grow? See, the fullness of Christ guarantees growth. Colossians 2, 9 through 10 tells us this, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." Again, Paul says, "I preach Christ and him crucified." What you have in Christ is enough. And it always will be. The world tells us it's not, right? The world tells us, no, you need that job, or you need that vacation, or you need that car, or you need that spouse, or you need that body, or you need that whatever. Like, the world tells us that. The world tells us there's always more. There's always something else. And so we end up into this rat race pursuing all these other things that we think might bring us that happiness. But it's really Christ that brings us growth. It's really Christ that brings us peace. It's really him who brings us joy and happiness and fulfillment and a mission for your life and a joy of your position in life. Because Christ is fully God and believers are fully united to him, nothing can be missing. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if he is never leaving us nor forsaking us, and if he is fully God, then beloved, you have the fullness of God at your fingertips all the time. So every year I have the blessing of going to Beach Point. They ask me to do this, and it's my joy to do this. So some of the Beach Point folk, they will help volunteer for our Tuesday program, right? So what they do is they'll ask me to go and teach a systematic theology class to the young adults that are there. They're going to be cabin leaders, and they're going to work for Beach Point over the year. And I love doing that because it reminds me of some of the deep theological truths that I tend to take for granted, right? I do sometimes with God's word the same thing that you do with your family member. And what that means is this, like, I'm so close to it all the time that I tend to start taking things for granted, right? So like, I take my wife for granted because I'm so close to her all the time. I'm just like, well, of course she's going to have dinner ready when I go home because that's what she does. Well, she doesn't have to do that. That's a blessing, right? Like, and so for God's word, I start taking things for granted, like like God's infinitude, like God's omnipresence, like God's omnipotence or omniscience. And again, those are just fancy 50-cent words for these things. God is everywhere, all the time. God knows all things, all the time. God never has a beginning and never has an ending, right? That God has all power, all the time. And I tend to forget those things. But when we remember that the fullness of God dwells in Christ, that the fullness of Christ was given on the cross for me, that the fullness of the Spirit of God dwells in us, it brings us to growth. It is not the works that I do. It is simply the submitting to Him on a regular basis, the ingestion of His Word on a regular basis. Here's what I'm saying. If you want to grow, just pray and read your Bible. Like, literally, that's it. If you do that, you will grow. It is like a chia pet. You just add water, stand back and watch it do its thing, right? Like, it's guaranteed. The fullness of Christ guarantees us growth. Jesus lacks nothing of God's nature, and so therefore believers lack nothing of Christ's provision to us. We do not grow by adding to Christ, we grow by living for Christ. Shallow roots will lead us to captivity, but deep roots lead us to confidence in Him, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? When our roots are sunk into Christ's fullness, we are secure, we are grounded, and we are free. Spiritual maturity is marked less by constant seeking and more by a settled trust in who Christ is. If Christ is the ruler of all things, then nothing threatens Him. Nothing outranks Him. Nothing can add to or subtract to what He's already accomplished. And if that Christ lives in you, then you are secure. See, rooted people are unshakable people. So I want to bring you to the last thing, which is this. I think one of the first fruits of being rooted in Christ is this: gratitude. Are we a thankful people, or are we grumbly and complainy? So you've heard me say from the pulpit, and it's a saying that I use with myself and with other friends and with my wife, you've heard me say it, something called first world problems, right? Us and our spoiled little first world problems. Oh, your internet's too slow to stream your streaming service. Oh, I'm sorry. First world problems. You have indoor plumbing, right? And you're not dying of cholera outbreak because you have tap water. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Netflix is a little slow today. Right? Like, I'm sorry that you're cold inside the sanctuary today, but at least you have clothes and you're going to go home and you're probably going to eat lunch and it's going to be fresh out of the crock pot and warm, or like whatever. You can get into a blanket and just lay in front of your TV, run your temperature to 78 degrees, 82 if you want, you know, whatever. Oh, first world problems. Okay? So like, here's what I'm getting at here. I don't mean to belittle any of the kind of stuff, but are we people of gratitude? If you have been saved, if you have been redeemed, if you have the God of the universe who loves you and wants a personal relationship with you and guarantees you a future and a hope and a new body and everlasting life and a perfect union with Him in heaven, in paradise, like, why are we not a people of gratitude? That should be one of the first fruits. Of course, there's the others in Galatians, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. But are we not people of gratitude? Look what Scripture says in this section that we're looking at. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thankfulness, in thanksgiving. Why? Because we know that in Christ we lack nothing. What can the world do to me? Kill my body? That's fine. I get a brand new one. I'll get an upgrade the next time around, right? What can the world do to me? Take all my possessions? I've got a place that I'm going where they literally use gold for pavement. I don't care. We should be heaven-minded. We should be thankful. Paul lists gratitude not as a personality trait, but as spiritual evidence. It should be our character because of who we are, which is a Christian. Gratitude flows naturally from a life grounded in grace. Ungrateful people are often entitled, right? They think they deserve something that they aren't getting. Ungrateful people often have spiritual immaturity because they're quick to get angry, slow to hear. They have something to say, and if you don't listen, then they're upset. And ungrateful people often drift from the gospel because they're not satisfied and they're looking for something else to satisfy them. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, a good place to start in your rootedness is cultivating the fruit of gratitude in your life. Being thankful for where you are, for who you are, for what God has brought you through, for what God will continue to bring you through in His grace. That you would recognize God's sovereign hand over all things, yes, even the scars. Jesus showed the scars, and it was because of the scars that the faithful believed. And so sometimes, beloved, it is the scars that cause us to grow. And it's only after that wound is healed that we can look back at that and we can see God's faithfulness in preserving us through it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Even when you're having your first world problems, you can be thankful. Hebrews 12:28, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." See, what I'm saying is when roots are healthy, the fruit comes naturally. We don't need to work for it. So focus on not the fruit, but focus on the root and let the fruit take care of itself. So what does this mean for us, right? Let's close this up. Let's put a bow on it. Here's the personal application that I hope that we can all take away. If growth flows from fullness of Christ, then the question is not, am I doing enough? The question is, am I following closely? The question is, am I listening intently? Are you spiritually busy, but internally restless? Because if you are, then maybe you need to follow a little more closely. Are you trying to prove maturity instead of simply practicing dependence? For us as a whole church, if Christ is truly sufficient, then the church's task is not to manufacture growth, but to cultivate depth. And beloved, that's part of why myself and the rest of the board, why this year we really want to focus on doing outreach, absolutely, but on growing the body and equipping the body. Because here's what we know. When you grow in Christ, you will witness. When you grow in Christ, your marriages will be strong. When you grow in Christ, your contentment, your discernment, your maturity, those things will take care of themselves. When we grow in Christ, the fruit will come. So are we measuring success by attendance and activity or by sustainability and maturity? Are we equipping people to stand firm in Christ or keeping them dependent on simple programs and procedures? Are we creating here a space for slow formative growth, or are we celebrating only what's fast and visible? So here's how I want to close. Beloved, God is not in a hurry with you. He's got all the time in the world and then some. But what He does want is for you to want Him. He's not asking you to add something new to your life. What He's asking is for you to abide more deeply in what He's already given. So, for 2026, let's focus on that. Let's focus on abiding and growing deep with our Lord. And let's let the fruit take care of itself. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this reminder of what really glorifies you is relationship and deep relationship with each and every one of us as your children, that you want for us to know you more and live with you closer. And so, God, the question isn't really if we want to grow, but whether we're willing to stop striving in and of ourselves and just trust your sufficiency and become rooted in you. So, God, I would pray that you would help all of us do that, that we would cast off the lie that Satan gives that we must do something, and rather instead we would cultivate a restful position in just knowing and loving you. Help us to do that, God. And let the rest take care of itself. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and close in song.